Well, good morning once again. My name is Julie Klaus, and I have the pleasure of serving on staff here at Resurrection United Methodist Church. We are currently in a sermon series titled, Which Way You Headed? Last week, Pastor Chris talked to us about healthy disagreement and fear of conflict. This week's sermon title is Got Your Back, and we'll be talking about dedication, or the flip side of that, lack of commitment. The text for today is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Feel free to pull out your Bibles, use your phone app, and it'll also be on the screens behind me. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we look to you for wisdom and guidance as we remember who you have created us to be in Christ Jesus. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Today's reading, huh? Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Like a church to which I would really like to belong. I mean, almost a utopia. Just think if we really lived this way. Those first century Christians, they were all in, completely dedicated and committed. Do you have people like this in your life? Devoted people, committed to your well-being, to the point of selling their possessions to make sure you have what you need. Or maybe you're that to someone else. I looked up synonyms for devoted. There were several, including loyal, faithful, true, steadfast, constant, committed, dedicated, devout. Then I looked up antonyms. And the dictionary only listed one, unloving. I found that so interesting. You know, Confirmation Sunday is coming up, and the 20-plus students getting confirmed this year are required to have a faith paper, to write a faith paper, just like in years past. Cody Klaus, our youth director, reads through all the faith papers, and one comment kept coming up again and again. It was how much the students really love their small groups. They have small group time on Wednesday nights. Confirmation is split into two parts, large group, small group, and the small groups are decided by age and gender. So Cody contacted the leaders and shared this information, first of all, of course, to praise them for a job well done, but also to invite them to think about making a greater commitment. There's an opportunity here to continue the small groups even after confirmation is done. continue to cultivate the relationship, to show these kids that we're dedicated and devoted to them. And as a result, maybe make disciples of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's kind of a scary thing. We're so afraid to engage for whatever reason. It's becoming more prevalent than ever. And yet we crave community. We were created for it. Have you ever heard of Adele Gabori? Adele lived in Massachusetts in a city of about 160,000 people. The article read, "People in this working class city tried to help out their reclusive neighbor, mowing her lawn and collecting her mail. Then they discovered she had been lying dead in her kitchen for 4 years. People have their own lives, a longtime resident, Ray French, said. They go their own ways. Neighbors don't want to get involved with neighbors. Neighborhoods aren't like they were 20 years ago. This happened in 1993. That was 25 years ago. How much more disconnected are we now? We may have hundreds of friends on Facebook or Instagram, but often no actual close friends. No one in whom we can truly confide. We are designed for relationships by a relational God. One of the things these first century Christians devoted themselves to was fellowship. So what exactly is fellowship? Is it just a social gathering? Is it eating donut holes and drinking coffee in the foyer? Maybe going out to lunch after church? While all of these things are good, there's more to it than that. Fellowship is more than a social activity with other Christians. Fellowship is meant to create relationships. It's one of the ways we mature as Christians. And just like music and giving and communion, fellowship is also an act of worship. It's the relationships we have through fellowship that build us up, allowing God's people to influence how we live our lives and how we understand our faith. And this goes for all of us. This isn't something just for new Christians, nominal Christians, not just for the youth in the confirmation class, but for each one of us all throughout our Christian walk. It's one of the ways we become disciples. And in turn, create disciples. We talk about that a lot around here. It's one thing to invite someone to church. It's another thing entirely to invite someone into a small group, into your home. And one does not necessarily have to come before the other. In 44-45 verses of today's text, it says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need." This is telling us we should have each other's backs. Not because it's legislated, not because it's a mandate of the state, but because it's what we're called to do as Christians. To meet needs as they arise. You see, in the early church, they believed that Jesus owned them and all their stuff. And that is certainly a departure from how many feel today. We currently live in a culture of mine. I've spent a great deal of time around kids, and the common theme, as many of you know, is it's mine. I hear it again and again. We are born truly as selfish little creatures. We want it all. It's all mine. The idea of sharing our stuff, our time, our talents, that's definitely learned behavior. Something which we are hopefully taught sooner than later. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." We want to mature in every way, and that includes our Christian walk. Modern fellowship doesn't mean we have to sell all our stuff. I don't want to go out and see garage sales up everywhere. But we are called to meet each other's needs. And that goes way beyond just financial assistance. That means emotionally and socially putting others first. You know, in between the first and second services, I got a message from someone who attends this church, and she's having surgery the first part of this next week. She asked for prayer. But she also said, "I have people from church coming over that are going to sit with me after my surgery, and they're going to bring me meals." And she commented on what a beautiful thing that is, to be served in that way, to know that somebody's got her back. Mark 9:35 says, "He, Jesus, sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him and said, 'Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else.'" So the early church devoted themselves to fellowship and also, according to our text today, to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread and to prayer. They weren't just hearing the teaching, they were putting it into practice. Bob Goff, I love this guy, author of Love Does. If you've never read that book, I highly recommend it. He has a new book out also called Everybody Always. He says this, "Most of us have all the knowledge we need. People don't need information. They want examples. God wants to use people like us to show the world what we know about Jesus by having them see the way we love the people around us, particularly the difficult ones." He goes on to say that we can each get a new identity in Christ. And if this happens, we move from merely identifying with someone's pain to standing with them in it, like the example I just gave. It's the parable in Matthew 25. "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." There's a woman that attends this church. When she first moved to Hastings, she would go out for walks with her dog, and she passed the same house every day, and oftentimes there was an elderly woman out there doing yard work all by herself. So she stopped and had a conversation with her, and the more they talked, the relationship evolved, and this woman started showing up with rake and gloves and helping her in her yard. This woman had children, but they weren't in the area. And a relationship began. A real bond. If we want to love Jesus, we need to love each other. Christian fellowship needs to be a part of our everyday life, not just something we do on Sunday morning. We're being called to put these things into practice, to include God in our social life. They're not separate. To engage with one another, not just on a superficial or casual level, but intimately. There's a Greek word that occurs 12 times in the New Testament, and 10 of those is in the book of Acts. The word is homothumadon. It means, I think, that's how you pronounce it. It means with one mind, with one accord, with one passion. It's a compound of two words meaning to rush along and in unison. It says, the image is almost musical. A number of notes are sounded, which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone, as the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master. So the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of Christ's church. Oh my goodness, I love that. In harmony with each other, all different, but together, creating this beautiful sound, literally music to God's ears. What an incredible thing to be a part of. Our fellowship should not end when we walk out of here on Sunday morning. We learn and grow as we share our experiences, our thoughts, our fears, our joys. The experience will enrich us. Remember, it's an act of worship. Be present in the lives of others and let God's Holy Spirit do the rest. Fellowship is so much more than socializing. It matures us as Christians. It allows us to not only become disciples, but make disciples. It's a path helping others encounter God. A mature Christian looks more and more like Christ. How is that accomplished? Through God's word. Just as our reading today tells us, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, so we need to devote ourselves to not just the study of God's word, but its application as well. Our path to discipleship is as simple as knowing, loving, and serving God through teachings, as well as studying, meditating, and memorizing God's word. We come to know God. By loving others, we are loving God. By serving others, we are serving God. God has given each and every one of us at least one spiritual gift in order to serve God's people. And it's up to us to discover how we're to use that. One of the regular classes offered around here is a spiritual gifts inventory. There'll be another one coming up this spring. I did this years ago under Pastor Mike Graham, when he was here. I highly recommend signing up for this. When you're serving using your spiritual gifts, it just feels right. You're jazzed. It's awesome. A couple of great quotes related to this. The first from Arnold Glasgow. He said, "Make your life a mission, not an intermission." And Vance Havner said, "Too many are willing to sit at God's table, but not work in his field." How many of us are devoted to fellowship, to serving in small groups, sharing with others who are in need, sharing meals with great joy and generosity? Words from our text today. We were made for a mission, to know Christ and to make him known. Book of Romans, arguably my most favorite book in the whole Bible, chapter 12, verses 9 through 13 says, don't just pretend to love each other, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. It's time to engage, to have each other's back, to experience life and ministry together. The dynamic of God's awesome presence happens in community. This is by God's design. It's time to show up physically, like those raffle drawings, must be present to win. Same thing. But you also need to show up spiritually. Being physically present is half the battle, but does not guarantee the devoted fellowship, the deep sense of awe or great joy talked about in our text today. Sometimes when we show up, we are only here in the physical sense. We've got that laundry list of to-dos running in our mind. We're somewhat unengaged. We need to be present spiritually. It means we're allowing ourselves to be known by others. It's going out on a limb, trusting our brothers and sisters in Christ with the real us. And isn't that vulnerable and frightening? Oftentimes it's so much easier to function as if everything is fine, everyone is fine, as if the act of going to church somehow removes our struggles. And in actuality, we don't go to church. We are the church. We are people that God loves, no matter how broken. And believe me, we're all broken. And we exist to bring glory and honor to him. When we come together in fellowship, being real and authentic, we grow and mature as Christians, and so do those around us. Our text today shows us a simple and beautiful model of what that looks like. We meet here for corporate worship. This is our temple courts, and hopefully from house to house, in some sort of small group. It's in these environments that God powerfully moves in the church and in us. It's time to engage, to be honest with each other about our struggles. Life is hard, but God is good. My challenge for us today is to take at least one step towards that early church model. Maybe it's signing up for the spiritual gifts class that's coming up in the spring and finding a place to serve. Maybe it's getting some people together and beginning a small group. It doesn't have to be people from church. It can be your neighborhood, family, friends. We have lots of resources here to get you started. If you're already in a small group, serve somewhere as a group. The possibilities are endless, both in this building and outside these walls. Read books to kids, rake leaves, plant flowers, serve in a shelter, deliver meals on wheels. The list goes on and on. Try to show up for corporate worship, both physically and spiritually. Read, meditate, memorize, and live out God's word, hopefully daily. Live a life devoted to God and to God's people. Will you pray with me? Holy and awesome God, help us to recommit our lives to you. Many are yearning for meaning in their lives. May we be the avenue by which they find that meaning in you. We pray these things in the powerful name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.